In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. It had been a rough weekend. Mary had watched someone she loved be tortured, violated, and lynched by a brutal state and a merciless mob. Mary was out early on Sunday morning. She couldn't sleep. She couldn't eat. And so Mary walked slowly, sadly, feeling alone in the world. Before the city awoke and swept her off into a new week, Mary wanted to spend some time acknowledging her grief. As we all long to do when we're missing someone, she went to visit the gravesite. And in the early morning mists, she found yet one more dagger to pierce her already broken heart. Even the cemetery had been defiled. The grave had been robbed. Her beloved had not been left to rest in peace. The nightmare continued. Our own global nightmare is taking place during this season. The current pandemic has killed more than 2,000 people just in the state of New Jersey so far. And its reach is global. Here in South Jersey, we have been among the last to experience the ill effects of this event, which makes the dissonance of dark news and sunny spring days all the more stressful and confusing as we wonder, how will this impact us? Which of my friends or loved ones will fall ill? Which will die? And when will this happen? We have now lived through weeks of grim mortality predictions and profound uncertainty, great darkness that makes it difficult for us to see. We have been asked to stay home, and many millions of people have seen their businesses shut down and their livelihoods taken away. Important rhythms of life and patterns of social interaction have been stripped away from us unceremoniously, and all the while the death toll continues to climb. Add to this the mixed, inconsistent, and often conflicting messages coming from our governments, those whose job it is to lead us in a coherent response to a global threat. If the darkness of disease and death weren't sufficient, add the fog of human prevarication and mixed motives to obscure our vision. It's no wonder that we often feel blind, helpless, discouraged, and alone. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. When Mary found that empty tomb, she immediately sought help from two other disciples of Jesus. Peter and John came and they bore witness to what she had found, but they didn't have a single word of help to offer. They just walked away, silent witnesses to Mary's sadness and their own. I feel some kinship with these three disciples, Mary and her tears, Peter and John and their silence. This early community of Christ followers find themselves living in the dark, not understanding all the things that Jesus had told them. Think of it. This was Easter morning, and the Lord had in fact risen. But they're not able to recognize that fact. Resurrection. Resurrection, when it comes, is so unexpected, so outside the norm, so unthinkable, that in fact, they can't think that way. They are stuck instead in a sea of sadness, with waters rising up to their necks and the soft mud sucking in their feet downward from below. And this is after the resurrection has taken place. Imagine that. Although Peter and John walk away, Mary remains. She stays there and sits with the mystery. She dwells in the darkness. She's determined to follow it through despite the sadness and the heartache. Mary doesn't shy away from the pain, but she embraces the reality before her, and that's how she encounters two angels. Angels are messengers from God, signs that God is near and God is moving. And those angels are helpers along our way. Mary encountered two angels, like, say, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that together show us the patterns of God's activity in the world and the ways that God's people have experienced God, the ways that we are likely to be encountered by God. Patterns of darkness followed by light, death followed by resurrection, alienation followed by reconciliation. Two angels, like the Bible and the church, those dynamic witnesses to God's love that have been handed down to us through the centuries, one faithful generation after another, with frequent rhythms of wandering and return, corruption and reformation, distraction with fads of interpretation or gimmicks of showiness, followed by gospel clarity and authentic piety. Two angels, like Christmas and Easter, those two principal holy days around which the whole church year is arranged and through which the story of resurrection life is told. Two angels, like communion and baptism, those core sacraments of the church from which we are currently fasting in response to the trauma of the moment, practices we love because they sanctify our bodies and involve our whole persons in the story of the kingdom of God. Two angels, two messengers to lead us into Jesus' embrace, like Mary, who passed through her own pain and discovered, literally ran into Jesus on the other side of it. So here's my message for you today. Jesus is risen. The world threw at him the worst it could muster. Fear, loathing, the heavy hand of a corrupt state with no actual ethical mores. Ridicule, torture, crucifixion. Burial with a heavy stone and an armed guard. And none of this could hold back the power of a resurrection life. Jesus rose from the dead, the firstborn into a new kind of life, the kind of life that you stepped into when you were baptized. So you may be at home today, worried, frightened, living with stress and anxiety. You may be in the hospital today, sick and fighting for your life. You may be alone today, separated from someone you love, chafing at your own inability to go be with them. There's no denying that these are dark times, smothering us with the stink of death and fear. But these times are not the conclusion. They're not even the controlling narrative of our lives. Because Jesus has risen, we too are living resurrection lives. And in the end, none of those things are going to stop God's power of love and healing from doing its thing in our lives. In the meantime, I urge you to look up. Look around. Even in the darkness, we are surrounded by angels, by messengers from God, sent to encourage us and to remind us and to lead us home. Eucharist and baptism may be two of those angels, and we're missing them right now. But their absence is an invitation for us to notice other neglected messengers. God has filled the world with reminders that resurrection is our story. Jesus has shown us the way, and even death on a cross is no obstacle. Instead, the dark places in life only serve to heighten our anticipation. If Christ has been raised, so will we. And that is our Easter cry. Alleluia! The Lord is risen! The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia!